down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will come and take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabbi, or Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they shall are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore saith unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, and said unto him, My Lord, and my God. Jesus saith unto Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I'm sure God will bless to our hearts the public reading of his precious word. You will look in vain in the account of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus or his resurrection to find Mary of Bethany. Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. You'd almost expect, if you read the entire gospel story, that you'd find them. At least Mary. Because when the Lord Jesus was around, Mary was always at his feet. In Luke's gospel, chapter 10, the first account, the Lord Jesus visits, the Bible says, visited Martha at Martha's house. Martha is known to be the oldest of the family. And the Bible says she owned the house. And as a result, she was careful about being the host when the Lord Jesus was there. Mary, that didn't bother at all. She sat at Jesus' feet. And when Martha complained, this is what Jesus said. Martha, you're troubled about much serving. He didn't say it was wrong that she served. But he did say that Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. In John's Gospel, chapter 11, their brother had died. He was away and didn't come. And when he came, Martha ran out to him and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And Mary, the Bible says, sat still in the house. You don't find Mary bustling about things except in the next story. When Martha came and told Mary that Jesus was there and was calling for her, she came and sat at his feet. Seemed that Mary was very comfortable at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She said the same thing, Lord, if you've been here, my brother has not died, but they both, because of the power and love of Jesus, they got their brother back again. The next story is in John 12. All three are at this house where Jesus had been invited to a feast. And guess where Mary is? Well, she's got an alabaster box of ointment in her hand, spikenard. The Bible says very precious. And she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's broken the bottle and she's pouring it over his feet and wiping it with the hairs of her head. And Judas says, that's a waste. You should have sold that and given the money to me so I could give it to the poor. Well, you know, the Bible doesn't say those words, but that's what Judas meant. Because it says he cared nothing for the poor, but he carried the bag. And the Lord Jesus said, in defense of Mary's posture, in defense of where Mary was, he said, let her alone. She has done this toward my burial. You won't find her at the cross. You won't find her at anywhere near the tomb. I believe, and this is just my belief, I believe that Mary had more faith than any of the disciples of the Lord Jesus. She heard what he said, believed what he said, celebrated his death a week in advance, and stayed home. And if you were to say, Mary, why did you believe? What was the proof to you? She would say, I just listened to his voice. I spent a lot of time there at home, listening at his feet, supplicating him for my brother who had died, and at his feet worshiping him. There's another Mary. Debbie sang about her tonight. We read about her. She was the first, we believe, at the sepulchre early on Easter morning. She had had 7 devils cast out by Jesus. I have no idea what that's like. Neither do you. She was controlled. Everything she did was under the influence of demonic forces. Not one, but 7 of them. Jesus spoke a word. The devils were made to flee. And possibly she was the most grateful of the disciples of the Lord Jesus, because everywhere you see him, frequently that is, you see Mary, Luke chapter 8, verse 1. The disciples are walking through Galilee, this Mary, and the other women ministering unto him. Matthew 27. The same sisters are down from Galilee. They're at a distance from the cross. They are bewailing the death of their precious Savior. Mary doesn't go away. The others do. Mary and the other Mary are 5 verses down there near the tomb into which Joseph of Arimathea is placing the body of the Lord Jesus. She goes away to celebrate the Sabbath, and we pick up where we began to read. Mary is standing outside the first day of the week, the sepulchre, looking in, weeping. 2 angelic beings are there. They ask a woman, why weepest thou? And she's amazed that they are amazed that she's there. Don't you know, she would be thinking, don't you know what they've done? They've crucified my Lord, and now they've taken his body away. And I love him so much, I want to know where they have laid him. And when she said that, Mary turned around. We don't know why. If the angels were in front of her, and the Lord Jesus appeared behind her. Somebody has said the angels recognized their Creator. They could see him. She couldn't. But something caused her to turn. And when she turned, she saw the Lord Jesus. Woman, why weepest thou? But another phrase, whom seekest thou? The Lord Jesus knew why she was there. And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said, Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have laid him, so I can carry him hence. I want to pick him up in my arms and carry him away. And we say, really, Mary, you can't do that. But such is the power of her love for her Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus said, Mary. Nobody else said that word like Jesus did. What do you need, Mary, to prove to you that he's risen? I need to hear his voice. He spoke a word one day, and all my difficulties went away. All the demons fled. I was like the man of Gadara, clothed and in my right mind. I need to hear his voice. And when she heard his voice, she was made whole. I couldn't go away. I wouldn't go away. I didn't recognize him through my tears, but I recognized his voice. Can I tell you tonight, if you're here without the Lord Jesus, that's the same voice with which he's calling you. He's probably called you many, many times, over and over again. Are you like Mary? Are you searching for him? Some say the Lord Jesus is searching for us, and he is. It is an unending search. Until you breathe your last breath, the Lord Jesus will save you if you will come to him. But the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Is your soul that important to you that you are searching for Jesus? The Bible says, him that cometh unto me, the Lord Jesus says, I will in no wise cast out. What about you, Peter? You were there with John as you ran to the sepulchre that day. We know he outran you. He was younger than you, but he stopped at the door of the sepulchre and you ran in. And you saw the grave clothes lying separate from each other. And you knew that wasn't normal, but John came behind. You saw them and believed. Why didn't you believe, Peter? Oh, Peter would tell us tonight, don't you remember? I denied him. I denied him three times. I said I didn't even know him. And I denied him with oaths and curses. And I went to that sepulchre to find him. I wanted to see him. I wanted to see him personally. I needed to be forgiven. Remember Galilee? He told us that's where he would meet us. The women told us. And so we went to meet him there, and we didn't see him. So I told the guys, I'm going fishing. And everybody went with me. I'm like that, you know. And we toiled all night, never caught a thing. And then John says, Jesus is on the shore. He said, I was naked. I took my clothes and threw them around me and jumped into the sea to go to him. I wanted to be with him. I wanted to be forgiven. He cooked his own fish that morning and fed us. And you don't know what went through my mind during those moments when I was waiting to talk to him. And when we had eaten, he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And I said, Lord, everybody else is here listening to this conversation. Can't we do this in private? No, that's not what Peter said. Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. And the Lord Jesus said unto him, feed my lambs. And then he said to me the second time, just when I thought it was over, he told me to feed his lambs. He would only say that to one of his own. But he said, Peter, Simon, do you love me? And I said, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. And he said unto me, feed my sheep. And I said, surely to myself, it must be over. But the same words again, he said, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? My heart was broken, you know. I guess I had denied him three times. I must confess him again. And I said, "Oh, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." And he said to me the last time, "Feed my sheep." What was the proof you needed, Peter? I needed to be forgiven. I had sinned. I had looked up after I had denied him the third time, and he looked down at me from Caiaphas' house. And I went out and wept bitterly, and it's been difficult for me to stop weeping ever since. And I needed to have forgiveness. And I can tell you here tonight, if you've never been forgiven, that forgiveness is personal. Nobody can be forgiven for you. You must come to the Lord Jesus and be forgiven by the risen Lord. Peter was forgiven. I know that. The Bible says so. The evidence of Scripture supports a life dedicated to the Lord Jesus. History says he died for his Savior. They wanted to crucify him, history says, and they did. But Peter said, "Not right way up. That's how my Lord died. Turn me upside down." And Peter died for his Lord, the way his Lord died. What about you, Cleopas? You should have heard him. You should have seen us. We were on our way home, and our heads were bowed, and our hearts were heavy. Then he came up alongside and he said, "What manner of communication is this as you walk in our sad?" He knew what was wrong. He came and told us the contents of our heart. And then he told us the contents of the Scriptures. He took Moses and the prophets and he described everything about himself to us. His tenderness and compassion caused our hearts to burn within us as he talked with us, by the way. And you know something? We almost missed him. Just as he got to our house, he made as if he would go further. Can you imagine what we would have missed had we not invited him in? But we did. We stopped and said, "Would you dine with us?" And we didn't miss him. He came into our house. We still didn't know who he was. But when he sat down to eat, he took the bread and broke it. And we saw the nail prints in his hands. And we knew it was him, and he vanished out of our sight. What cost you to recognize him, Cleopas? I saw the marks of his passion. I was reminded of what it cost him to save me. I saw the nail prints in his hands where the Roman soldiers had embedded these iron spikes through his flesh, and we recognized who it is. We went back and told them, and when we got there, they told us they had seen the Lord. Do you realize tonight, dear unsaved friend, what it cost the Lord Jesus to save you? Do you ever think, with eyes closed and contemplation of that great love, how much pain he bore? Nails through hands embedded on a cross, with the weight of your body, his body, hanging by those three iron spikes, already beaten and bruised and marred more than any man. And then God the Father punishing the Lord Jesus. "His God, my God," he said, "my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In the darkness of Calvary, he bore the punishment for you, your sin, for my sin. What will it take to prove to you that he loves you and that you should give your life to him? How about you, Thomas? You have a reputation for being a doubter. Is that true, Thomas? I believe, and I don't know, but I believe Thomas would say to us when he began his story, he would say, "You don't know a half of it." I'll tell you that when the Lord Jesus was asked to come to help Lazarus, I was with him. We had left Judea because the Jews wanted to stone him. And when Lazarus died, he said, "Okay, now we'll go." You know what I said? I said it offhand. I said it without thinking, "Let's go so we can die with him too." I said things like that. I was impetuous and spoke without thinking. You remember what he told us later? We were gathered around him. He was telling us about his Father's house. And he said to us, you know where I'm going, and so therefore you know the way. And I contradicted him. I said, I don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? That's the kind of person I am. But it got worse. It got worse after he died. I was home sulking. I was licking my wounds. I was unbelieving. And the Lord Jesus appeared to the others, showed them his hands and his feet. And when they came and told me, I didn't say very sweetly, when I see him, I will put my fingers in the print of the nails and put my hand into his side. I said, unbelieving, unless I see the holes in his hands and unless I can push my hand, my whole hand into his side, I won't believe. And he might turn to us and say, you ever had your words thrown back in your teeth? Very hard to swallow your words. You ever had them thrown back in your teeth by the person who you spoke about? That's even worse. But it also tells us that's not what he did. I was there the next time. He came through the doors without opening them. And he walked up to me, and in the kindest voice you have ever heard, he said, Thomas, put your finger in the holes in my hand. Take your hand, Thomas, your whole hand. Thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. I couldn't talk hardly. I fell down at his feet, and I cried, my Lord and my God. If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus, you have a Lord and Master, but it's not Jesus. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you do, but that's not the way it has to be. Because just as Jesus came the second time to meet Thomas, he's been to you over and over and over again. And he'll show you his riven side, his pierced hands, his feet, and invite you again that you make him your Lord and your God. Judas. I don't guess Judas can hear me. Judas wasn't there at his crucifixion. Judas wasn't there at the tomb. Judas was already in his home tomb. And Judas can't tell us anything, but maybe we can surmise what Judas would say were he asked and could speak. I think the first thing he would say, he would bellow from the caverns of the damned, it's too late for me. You see, I walked with him. I walked with God for 3 years. I saw what God was like. I heard God's voice. I watched God's heart work out through his hands as he touched lepers and cleansed them. As he touched eyes and gave them sight. As he looked down at death and spoke life into those that were dead. Let me tell you something about that ointment that you spoke about earlier. When I saw Mary anointing his feet, I said, give that to me so that I can give it to the poor. But I didn't love the poor. I am a thief. I wanted that money for myself. And when I kissed him in the garden, it was not a kiss of loyalty or respect. It was a kiss of betrayal. What I valued was 30 pieces of silver, more than the Son of God. And now I'm in hell. And one of the worst things about this place is my memory. I can't get him out of my mind. I saw him. He loved me. I didn't need to be here. In Gethsemane's garden, he came up, and when I kissed him, he called me friend. He gave me one last opportunity, and I blew it. Tell the people you're talking to tonight, he might say to me, don't come where I am. Don't be deceived by the devil. Trust the Lord Jesus. Trust him now. Trust him tonight, because the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Did I say that his memory was the worst things? His regret of the rejection of the Lord Jesus was awful. And he would tell us tonight, he did those two things in unbearable flames. You have a choice to make tonight. May I ask you, did any of these people that we talked about tonight tell your story? Are you like Mary of Bethany? Did you believe his word? I'm sure there are many here tonight that did. Trusted the Lord Jesus when one day, one night, someone told the story of the cross and they came to know him as their own personal Savior. Were you like Mary Magdalene? Mary Magdalene wanted to hear his voice, wanted to hear him say her name. Maybe you're like Peter. You needed forgiveness. You came to Jesus weary and worn and sad, as the hymn writer says. You found in him a resting place, and he has made you glad. Maybe you're like Cleopas. Somebody told you about the cross, and with eyes closed, or perhaps eyes open, you visualize the pain that bespoke his love for you. You remembered that your sins were placed upon him, and you ran to him, and in childlike faith accepted him as your own personal Savior. Maybe you're like Thomas. You doubted the stories, until one day you realized that the stories were true, and you found the Lord Jesus to be just who his disciples say he is. Or maybe you're like Judas. Maybe you'll wind up in hell. If you go on as you are, you will. You would have rejected one day, one night, for the very last time, his office of mercy. He didn't die for any other reason except to save you. Won't you trust him tonight? Won't you close in with his office of mercy? There's nobody here in this room, in my mind, that doesn't believe. But simply believing that there was a Jesus and that he died will not save you. You must come to him. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Would you turn, please, in your hymn books to number 231. 231. The story is told, fictional, though possibly true, that the devil got his demons together and said to them, "Tell me what we can best do to stop people from trusting the Lord Jesus." And somebody said, "Let's tell them that it's all a lie. There is no heaven. There is no hell." And somebody said something else, and somebody said something else, and one demon got up and said, "No, let's do this. Let's go to them and tell them that Jesus died for them. Tell them that the whole story is true, but tell them don't do it now. They have all their lives before them. Live the way they want, and just before they die, they can trust Jesus." And the devil said, "I believe you're right. I believe that will work better than anything. Although we don't know what goes on in hell, I believe that the truth that story is trying to give is absolutely valid. Because the people in here and on Spanish Wells believe the story, but don't trust the Savior. They believe they'll have an opportunity." Let's stand and sing number 231. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time, fleeting days are telling fast, that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing 231.